and you've had such an illustrious career. Can you tell me, when you got this honor, had so many high victories, who was the first person? Tell me to the first person you talked to about it, how it felt. You did a pretty good job up there, but maybe.
Yeah, I was 10 minutes from my house, and I was going to call my wife. I thought, no, I'm going to go home. My son and wife were at home, and just got them in one room and told them, and then I called my daughter right away. And then, of course, it was out there publicly, and everybody was calling and texting.
Jim, congrats. You said up there, it was an amazing line, your whole hockey life flashed before you. Did one vision stand out from that, like saving a puck?
No, it was just a lot of things, just jumping around, right back from my youth days, playing in those cold rinks and not everything that happened to me, but
right,
just
right.
A lot of things just jumping around in my mind. And then, for the most part, I'm a guy that lives today and not yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I haven't really reflected a lot on my playing career. And since this was announced I was going to be inducted, I've taken more time to think about that, and it's really been an exciting part of my life.
How about sharing the secret of the Link Stanley Cup winners for two different franchises?
Well, the last two is not that big a secret. Sidney Crosby, I guess that's not a big secret, but I've been really fortunate. I've had good people to work with. The one in Carolina was pretty special because we come out of the work stoppage that year. We were kind of picked as a team that wasn't going to do that well, and it all came together. So that was fun because I was the guy that made a decision on every one of those players. Pittsburgh was special back to back, but that wasn't all my team. Craig Patrick and Ray Shiro played a role in that team, bringing some players in before I got there. But obviously, there had to be some adjustments. So I was proud of the fact that we made the right adjustments. But you certainly have to have a lot of character on your team. My philosophy is being good down the middle, and the goalie makes up for a lot.
Jim, is this sunk in yet?
I'm not sure. it's sunk in, but I think there's more to come that I'll really be able to think about as time goes along. It's just, I don't know. It's just really hard to put in words how I feel right now. I obviously feel really good and excited. I feel really nervous about the speech on Monday night because I don't want to miss anybody, and I've had a lot of people that have really helped me.
Is the speech done yet?
It was done about 2 days after I was told I was going in. Not done, but the framework of it was done. When Kelly Massey came to meet me at my home, she said, "Wow, this is a first. We've never had anybody have it done this early."
How much stuff did you keep through the career? I mean, lots of guys have just dispensed with things. They just don't have things. When the Hall came to you, did you have a lot of stuff to give them, Jim?
I had some things. I was fortunate. I had a mother that kept a lot of my things and scrapbooks and all those things. And at the time, I didn't think a whole lot about it, but I'm very thankful to her now that she did.
Do you remember your first trip to the Hall of Fame?
I do. And my first trip to the Hall of Fame, I can't remember how old I was, but I can remember it was at the CNE. And they had that standalone building at the CNE, and my mom and dad took me there that day. I can't remember who was going in the hall at that time, but I do know somewhere my mother has some pictures of that day, and I'll eventually find them.
Do you have a favorite display, a favorite artifact, a favorite piece of memorabilia in this building? Is there one thing that you gravitate toward when you come in these walls?
Well, I think the one thing is the mask. I was at the start of goalies having a design on their mask, and lots of people come up to me and say, "God, I remember when you play, I remember your mask." And I walk away and think, did they ever remember I won a game or I stopped any pucks? They only remember me by my mask. But that mask is in the hall, and a lot of people talk about it.
Did you have a favorite,
nice to see.
Did you have a favorite fiberglass mask? Of all the masks, they were starting to take on different art forms and so on. Did you have one that just really jumped out at you?
Well, I never had one that really protected me. I mean, the first day I ever wore a mask, I was 16 or 17, I went to the Twin Rinks in Thornhill in late August to get ready to go to a training camp. And I hadn't had my equipment on all summer, and I went out, and I'd say 30 seconds or 60 seconds into it, a guy came down to the hash marks, took a slap shot, hit me in the mouth, and knocked out four teeth and, you know, 40-some stitches. And that was the first day I ever wore a mask. So they didn't protect you that good, but I guess if I didn't have it on, it could have been worse. Might have been five teeth.
How certifiable were goalies in the day when you look at Jacques Plante and what Plante meant to the game, obviously, wearing the mask? But, I mean, guys who played before, you see footage of Johnny Bauer diving, stopping shots with his face, and these guys.
Yeah, and people say, well, you know, they didn't shoot the puck as hard in those days. But even if I just threw a puck and hit you in the head right now, it hurt you. So it was, you know, I mean, it was amazing what those guys did. I mean, they were such brave guys and so determined, and that was great in those days. I was a kid, you know, Jacques Plante, Johnny Bauer, Glenn Hall was my favorite goalie. And imagine a goalie playing 500 consecutive games without a mask. Absolutely amazing. But those guys were special people.
Jim, can I jump in? I had one question. And the second part of the first question was about transitioning. And I started asking you about, you know, all your different roles and done so well in all of them. Yeah. Through it all, there's difficulties too. And you've done a masterful job at transitioning from all of these roles, right? From the time you were little to now, this is a new transition as well. Could you give me a comment on that? And
the thing that I feel good about was I knew I wanted to stay in the game of hockey after I played. But it didn't mean I had to go right to the NHL from being a player. And I was very fortunate. Peter Karmanis met me. He gave me a job. I remember the last year in the NHL, I was making about $175,000. In those days, that was pretty good. It's pretty good today, but I mean by NHL standards. And he offered me a job just for a week at a goalie hockey school. And then the following week, he offered me a full-time job making $24,000 in benefits.
How did you?
And I remember a lot of guys that I played with would have never taken that job. But the thing that was good about the transition is I went back to the grassroots of hockey, back to working with kids, and went to youth tournaments, used to drive kids to youth tournaments, used to go to the Nationals, and then went from there to the OHL, and from the OHL to the NHL. So I wasn't in a hurry. I think the good part about it was I took the proper steps and took my time.
Was it humility, like you had to go on to ownership and Stanley Cups, etc.? Could you comment on that? Like you said you went back. You didn't hesitate where someone else might. So that person, when they read this story, what about them when they're thinking, well, I'm going backwards there, or I'm not doing that?
Well, you're not going backwards. You have to you have to have experience, okay? And you have to learn in the process. Sometimes you can jump too far ahead and not be ready. And I was just really lucky. Peter Karmanis gave me that opportunity. And we went along at the right pace. I learned as I went, learned from different people. And I'm glad I did it.
Last, and that is, what is your growth? What's your biggest growth key to growth in this process?
Mm-mm. I think the biggest thing is you always have to be positive, take the positive out of everything, and you have to be determined. And if you do that, good things will eventually happen.
Thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
Is it a true measure of a GM going through what you're going through now with the injuries on your team?
Well, I think since I've gone to Pittsburgh, I've been used to that. You know, it's hitting harder and harder when you lose a guy like Sid for this long. But but it's part of our game. All the teams go through that, and you have to work your way through it. Other guys have to seize the opportunity and play better. And in this case, we're going to have to play good enough to stay in the mix. And when Sid comes back, then take off from there.
Quick follow-up. Did Ian Turnbull ever talk to you after the five-goal game?
Yeah, Ian Turnbull and I were really good friends when we were teammates. Okay. Now, I had lost sight of him. But when they honored him in Toronto, it was our game.
Yeah.
And I went to the reception ahead of time. And I was talking to him, but I think he had the five goals. Three of them were on me, I think, in the third period. Yeah. And man, he could really shoot the puck. I mean, it wasn't my finest period, but at the same time, it was to his credit. It was good, and I was happy for him.
Jim is the goalie in you, a little bit jealous, or the builder in you, and wish that the goalie would be in the Hall of Fame and not only the GM?
Not necessarily. I, you know, I mean, as an undersized person, 5'8 and 160 pounds, I think that alone was a real accomplishment to play 13 years in the NHL. I wasn't blessed to play on a lot of good teams, so I'm comfortable with my NHL career, and I eventually got to the Hall of Fame one way or the other, and happy to be in as a builder.
Jim, how does the ring fit?
What's that?
How does the ring fit?
Fits good.
Feels good?
Yeah.
Does that make it a little more real, having that looks on now? Good. Is that when you're getting measured for it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is, everything that happens here this week is exciting. It's very special, and this is one that I'll probably be wearing on a regular basis.
Haley.
Hey, Chris.
Haley mentioned when she was up here, when you guys were sitting there waiting, you were looking at the names on the wall and kind of...
Yeah.
Was there any names that you looked at and you were just like, oh my God, like, well, these are my peers now?
Well, yeah, because I'm sitting on this side. You got Del Vecchio that I played with, and then he coached and he was the GM. Frank Mihovlich came to a banquet in Beaton when he was 10 years old. Or when I was 10 years old, I'm sorry. And 10 years later, I was his teammate in Detroit. And I still had that picture, and I showed it to him when I got there. Harry Lumley I met when I was a kid. It happened that I was staying in the same hotel as the Leafs. I think they were in St. Catharines for training camp or something. And he was so nice to me. Yeah, I was looking up and down there. Bobby Orr's a good friend of mine. Gump Worsley I knew pretty well. So I was sitting checking all those out. And I'll take some more time here later on and take a look at everybody.
Does it blow you away that 15 years from now somebody's going to be sitting in that same seat and go, oh my God, there's Jimmy Rutherford, and have these same stories to tell?
Well, they're not, because they tucked me over here in the corner.
Well, when he gets over there.
But whenever they eventually walk around there. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, my son and daughter and grandkids and that can come at some point in time and, you know, say there's my dad.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim.